Very, very good night to you all. Welcome to our call. Very warm welcome to you as we step into our going over week three, session three with everybody. Most of you are coming off of the, just leading your second week of the book club, concentrating on the emotions. Week three is coming up for you. Some of you may not have led week two yet, and you're just listening to this in preparation for when week three comes. Either way is totally good. So welcome once again. Thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. And always very grateful that you're willing to hold space and be of service and support to other people. And so, we're going to cover some of these kind of life skills, as I think of them, here at the beginning of the call. A few reminders. So you're going to start to kind of rehear some things over and over again as we go through this evening's session. And the reason that we cover these life skills, or these, we could call them techniques, several times is so that they become second nature. Training is about implementing a skill or a technique, a strategy, over and over again until we become exceptional at it, so that it becomes second nature as well. It just becomes how we show up in the world. And so as awesome as it is that you're willing to hold space for other people and be on the journey of transformation with them, get to see, you know, different things unfold as they go through the inner matrix, and as you hold space for them to do that, it's also, as we spoke of before, a phenomenal opportunity to kind of flex some muscles of for yourself, to train some of these essential life skills so that they become more and more second nature. You know, all of the facilitation skills that we're teaching you, getting you inside of, that you're practicing as you lead your inner matrix group, translate to real-world application, whether that means, you know, the way that you show up with your family, the way you show up in your careers, or inside of any place in life where you choose to create an outcome and fulfill a vision for yourself, the deepening of relationships, etc. And so as we dive into our third session here, and we start to go over what we're going to go over in week three of the Inner Matrix group, let's go ahead and connect to our vision, right? That's a wonderful way to always begin our work, our practice, because vision, again, sets context. When we connect to vision, right? Remember, when we connect to vision regularly and consistently, we're putting our focus there, we're putting time there, we're putting attention there, and then we're also waking up our intuition, right? We're waking up that creative thinking process within our mind, within our psyche, so that, you know, it starts working on our behalf to figure out how to produce that result. And so just take that moment with yourself. Connect to that initial vision that you intended for your inner matrix group before you ever got started. Connect to what that vision was for yourself. Take a moment, connect to the vision that was larger than yourself. Connect to the intention, the vision of what you were intending to have be fulfilled by the participants that engaged the inner matrix group with you. What was the intention of what's fulfilled overall? What was the intention, the vision that you intended to have fulfilled for yourself? What did you choose to step into for you as a result of moving through this inner matrix group, going through this process? And as you connect to vision, and you're almost halfway through the inner matrix group series now, you've led two sessions, there's three left, so we're just about at a halfway point, we could say. How is that aligning? Maybe you start to recognize and identify how that vision that you intended is already being fulfilled. Perhaps there's some places where the fulfillment of vision is already occurring. Maybe it's already occurred. Perhaps there's a few spaces where you can kind of use that vision as context, and you start to see some places where you could show up in a certain way to help guide or direct vision, You can guide or direct your inner matrix group or your sessions in a way that fulfills vision. Maybe you're seeing a gap there where you have this vision and you're just not quite sure how it's going to fulfill. That too is okay. remember, consistency of focus is what ends up getting us to the outcome, fulfilling or manifesting the vision that we intend. And so, as I said, all of these skills, right, the skill of relating to vision as an example is a lifestyle skill. Very few people who are in the world today relate to vision, really, really consciously choose to create their life. Very few people choose to consciously create their life. Few are aware that it's possible. Few are understand or know how. As many of you have heard me say before, right, there's 1 in 100 people. If you meet 100 people, one of those 100 have a clear vision as to what they choose to manifest in their life, they choose to create. And out of those, the 1 out of 100 that has a clear vision, a clear outcome of what they like to create, one of those 100, meaning 1 out of 1,000, fulfill the vision. And the thing that those that set an intention, a vision for themselves do and have that outcome fulfilled, meaning I have a vision, I set the vision, I intend it, and then I fulfill it. What that 1 out of 1,000 does, that sets a vision, intends it, and then has it fulfilled, are three things. Number one, they have a vision. Number two, they consistently focus on it. They consistently affirm and put energy, attention toward their vision. Not in a way where they're connecting to it weekly, monthly, or, you know, a few times a year. They connect to it daily, right? They're consistently using that vision as context. And then number three, they're evaluating. They're checking in with where they are. They're using vision as context. They know where they're going, and they're making those micro adjustments along the way. They're just simply aligning themselves with their vision each step of the way. And so you had a vision for what you chose to fulfill, leading, facilitating this inner matrix group, vision for yourself, vision for the participants, vision for what the group fulfilled overall. And so check in, right? Where am I with that vision? What steps are making sense for me to take so that I move toward the fulfillment of that vision? And just a gentle reminder to consistently focus on that and tune into that, you know, at least once a day, just to flex the muscle of creation. Because that'll translate everywhere else in life. You set a vision for your family and you choose to walk toward the fulfillment of that vision. You set an intention, a vision for your career. Maybe it's for your health and well-being, right? You can use this capacity or this skill of relating to vision in every aspect of your life. And this is a place to just develop, hone, and practice developing this essential lifestyle skill, this technique, this strategy. And so just take that moment, remind yourself of vision, connect with it, and then from that place, just take a moment and evaluate, hey, if I did do session two, how did that go? How did week two go? How did the second week of my inner matrix book go? How did the second week of my inner matrix group go? What happened there? What went really well for the group overall? And make sure you name 1 to 3 things. What went really well for the inner matrix group overall? Number two, what went really well for the participants? What were some key things that went really well for the participants? Again, 1 to 3 things that went really well for the participants, and just go ahead and acknowledge those things. And then what went really well for myself? Like what went really well inside of my facilitation, my capacity to lead the group, the way that I held space? What went really well as it pertains to my performance in the second week of the inner matrix group? What went really well there? And then building on what went really well, go ahead and take that moment. As it pertains to the overall experience of the inner matrix group, how could I build on what went well and make it even better for them? What went really well about the overall experience of the inner matrix group? How can I expand on what went well and create an even better overall experience? And take a moment and see what comes to you there. And then second, what went really well about what went really well for the participants in the inner matrix group inside of week two? What went really well for them? And what can I do to expand on that experience of what went really well for them? And how can I make it even better for next time? See what comes to you there. And then finally, taking a moment, what went really well with my facilitation? with my capacity and my ability to hold space for the inner matrix group on that second week. What went really well inside of how I facilitated. And how could I expand on that to improve my capacity for facilitation and to create even a better experience next time? And take a little time and just identify those three places and then 1 to 3 affirmations or acknowledgments within each of those three places. Number one, what went really well with the overall experience of the inner matrix group, what went really well with the participant experience or engagement, what went really well about my capacity as a facilitator, and then 1 to 3 acknowledgments within each of those spaces. And again, this too is a lifestyle skill. This too is a training. This is why we're touching in on this before and after every single session that we lead, because part of what we want to do is really train our mind to acknowledge and see what's going well. Within any life situation, we could acknowledge what's going well and build on what's going well, and that tends to not only create greater happiness, joy, and fulfillment in our life, but it also tends to lean toward or create much better outcomes, meaning we succeed far better and we perform much better when we're able to see what's going well and expand on that based on not only the state that we align with because it feels good, we're inspired, we tend to be more passionate about what we're doing, and we fundamentally enjoy the process. So we're going to put more of ourselves into it. We access the ability within our own mind to stay inside of creative thinking, critical thinking, high focus, etc. And so we want to train the mind and just keep directing the mind into what went really well and how can we expand on what went well and make it even better, which is different than how a lot of people tend to orient with their space, right? Remember, a lot of people, when they evaluate how they're doing, unfortunately, they can tend to lean toward things that aren't going well, things they've done wrong, things that they're incapable of. Or they'll perceive problems and then think they need to solve the problem and create a solution to a problem in order to do better. But then oftentimes we end up kind of shooting yourself in the foot a little bit. We don't realize it, but we end up sabotaging ourselves, because when we start focusing too much on what's not working and we start seeing that there's all these problems we have to overcome, we tend to contract ourselves, we feel sad, we feel disappointed. That's where we start to feel a bit insecure, incapable, and it's like kind of like dragging a weight behind us, because it tends to create a heaviness and low energy, etc. And then just by way of how we're focusing, it tends to trigger a fear-based state or fight or flight where we're just not able to think as clearly. We're not able to see the possibilities or what outcomes we can create simply because of that lens of problem solution that we can get stuck into. And so we want to train the mind, again, practice that life skill of acknowledging what's going well, expanding on what's going well. Acknowledge what's going well, and then expanding on what's going well. And that's something that we can practice, not just, you know, with our inner matrix group, but that'll translate to each other. You know, that's a great space to bring to any place in our life. I mean, if you look at your family and you go, wow, what's going really well in my family? And how can I improve on that? Your dynamic's going to change there. If you go to work and you go, hey, what's really great about my job? And what can I do to make the experience even better? That's going to change the way you show up with work. If you show up with your friends and your acquaintances and you go, hey, what's really great about these relationships? And how can I expand on them? How could they be even better? How could I bring more of myself to them? Again, it's going to change the dynamic in a lot of people's relationships. And so take a little time and make sure to always evaluate your performance, right? We also evaluate our performance so that we can get inside of those two places of, number one, the things that did go well and what we are doing well. We want to make sure we can repeat them and expand on them. And if we do identify some things that maybe aren't working as effectively as they could be, we could go ahead and not engage that way anymore and perhaps replace it with how we can make the experience a little bit better. And so once we, take that time to reflect there, to go ahead and continue informing ourselves how we can take that micro step toward the fulfillment of the vision, making a difference in each of these people's lives that you are willing to hold space for and see something extraordinary occur for them relating to your vision, you're just taking those micro steps toward it. You're just taking those, you're just taking that, as we say, that micro step in the direction that may not seem significant at the time, because it only seems like this little micro effort. It just seems like this little adjustment that you're making. But remember that it's those consistent adjustments that we make regularly over time that end up producing optimal results. They end up creating big outcomes. And so know that by making those subtle adjustments, you're on your way to creating some pretty substantial outcomes. Now that you've gotten in the flow with your inner matrix group a little bit, you've led a few sessions, maybe you've even led a few groups, we can start expanding on some of the facilitation skills. And so as we move into week three, part of what I would encourage you to start paying a little bit of attention to, if your focus isn't already there, is really developing listening skills. You know, oftentimes when we're in conversation with people in our life, especially in our inner matrix group, we kind of assume communication is occurring. And sometimes it's not occurring as effectively as it could be. And communication is probably one of the most important life skills to develop and master if we want to create extraordinary results in our life, whether that's in our relationships with our family, friends, our career, business relationships we want to build, just being vibrant in our communities, etc. And it's one of those things where we engage it regularly, right? We talk with each other, we interact with each other, we communicate with each other. And so a lot of times, we're inside of what I think of or call assumed communication. I'm assuming that what I'm saying is heard in the way that I'm communicating it, and I'm assuming that the person is understanding what I'm intending to communicate and that I am responding to their communication. And so effectively, three things must happen inside of effective, strong, healthy communication. Number one, I have to be able to articulate and share that which I'm intending to communicate in a way that my audience can hear it. And so a lot of times when people share what they intend to communicate, they're sharing what they intend to communicate based on their understanding as though they were talking to themselves. And sometimes we miss or we forget or lose sight of the audience that we're speaking to, and based on where they are, right, how they're feeling emotionally, their level of intelligence, just kind of their life perception sometimes, their belief structure, where is their attention? Maybe they're not focused on us, right? Maybe they're focused on something else. Maybe they're daydreaming. I mean, there's so many things that can occur as it pertains to the space we're speaking to with somebody, where our intended communication can simply be lost, misinterpreted, not understood, etc. And so as you communicate with your group members, just stop and take that moment and be aware of the audience that you're speaking to. Maybe you're speaking to the whole group, or maybe you're just speaking to one person, and just take that moment and check in. Hey, what is my intended communication here? The way I'm thinking to say this or communicate it, is that most likely going to be understood based on where this person is hearing it from? And then go ahead and communicate. Then once you communicate, you wanna check in and just sort of double check and make sure that what you intended to communicate was understood by them, right? So what you intended to communicate was what they heard you say and what they understood you say. And so a couple ways you can just check in to make sure that what you intended to communicate was understood in the way that you intended to communicate it, and that the space that they were in it registered for them is maybe they will communicate back to you what you said. Sometimes there can be an acknowledgement of a smile or a nod where the intended impact that you had seems to have come across by way of their body language or you know, the response that they give aligns with a response to what you communicated, right? And so different ways you can just sort of take that moment and check in to make sure that what you intended to communicate was understood the way that you intended it. And like I said, body language is a good way. Sometimes they'll smile if they respond to what you communicated in a way that matches up or lines up with what you said. It makes sense as a response. That's a great affirmation that what you intended to communicate got across. Sometimes people will just, you know, say back to you what was said, what was communicated, which can be an affirmation that, okay, they clearly got it because they just shared it back to me. Maybe they'll ask a question in response to what you said, and the question makes sense as, a response to your communication. The point is, if you just take them the time and you're aware of their space and you're just willing to check in to make sure that your intended communication came across, you're probably going to be able to distinguish if it did or it didn't. Oftentimes when we communicate, though, we forget to check in to make sure that what we intended to communicate was received and understood the way that we intended it. And if we don't take that moment to check in, that's where it can sometimes be pretty easy to completely miss that our communication didn't quite land the way we intended it. And so if you just take that step to just check in with yourself and go, hey, does it seem like my communication got through the way I intended it? Generally, you're going to see if it did or it didn't. And then finally, for an effective communication, there has to be a response to what I communicated. So I communicate. The person clearly understands that which I'm communicating. They understood it the way that I intended it. And then they respond to my communication. Now, again, a response doesn't always mean that they speak back to me. Sometimes it can be a head nod. Sometimes it's a smile. Sometimes there's a body gesture. Maybe there is a response, like a thank you. Maybe they ask a question that relates to your communication, something like this. And so just be mindful, right? Communication is one of those things that we could spend an entire, you know, weekend talking about. We could lead an entire intensive on communicating, effective communicating, skills around communicating, and practicing strategies. But for the purpose of your Inner Matrix group, just play with the awareness of I'm communicating an intention, and I know that I'm speaking to a certain audience. So I want to make sure that I'm communicating in a way that this person or this group is going to most likely understand it. Double check in, make sure that my communication was received the way that I intended it, and then that there was an appropriate response to that which was heard. And just play with the awareness that those three steps are happening. A communication is occurring, there's an understanding of the communication as it's being spoken, and then there's a response that makes sense to that which was heard and understood. And I know this sounds so basic, but it really truly isn't. When you kind of throw in an emotional lens there, you know, the distraction of maybe thinking about something else or daydreaming, or we're in our internal process and we're thinking about other things, it's so easy for miscommunication just to occur without realizing it. And we've all experienced that, whether it's, you know, with somebody that we care about, somebody we're close to, where it's like we think we communicate something and it's just so clearly not heard the way we intended it, and vice versa, right? And we've all had those miscommunications happen at work and other places as well. So a great place to just, you know, practice honing that skill of communication. And a great way to practice this, one strategy we'll give you, is what we think of, or what I call active listening. And so as each group member shares, whether they're sharing an answer to the question or their experience of the meditation, they're sharing, you know, what occurred for them as a result of doing the practice, or, you know, hearing somebody share, maybe they're sharing what occurred for them as they heard somebody else share, right? Whatever it is, as somebody is sharing, do your best to really listen to and hear what it is they're communicating. Make it your job in that moment to hear as clearly as possible what they're communicating. And so, you know, yes, you want to listen to their words to make sure you understand what they're verbalizing, but then also be aware, like, what's their body language saying? What's their emotional space? What's their emotional state? And make it a bit of a game and see how much can I hear? Like, if I really clear my space, right? We get out of our own head, our own mind. We center ourselves, right? Again, we go back to holding space. We're in a centered place within ourselves, where we're calm, we're at peace, and just really listen to what the fellow group members are saying. You know, listen to their words, listen to what they're sharing, but also listen and sort of tune in. What's their emotional space? What's their body language saying? And just get in the practice of really being with each of the group members as fully as you can, especially when they're sharing. And a great way to sort of practice the skill of communicating, hearing what's being communicated, and then responding to that which was communicated, which was heard also, is to you know, verbalize back or affirm what was said. And so if someone in the group is sharing, you know, I had such a wonderful experience in my meditation, and I ended up missing, you know, one of the days, and I noticed that I was a little bit off on one of those days, but the very next day I did my meditation, I just noticed I felt so much better, and before this week I didn't realize, you know, just how much I was getting out of the practices. And so if that's what you hear, then you can affirm back what they said. And it ensures that those communication steps, those three steps that we just spoke about, happen. And so, you know, you can listen to what they say, and then you can affirm it back to them. You can go, wow, you know what? That's such a great point that you make about, you know, consistently doing the meditation. You know, when we notice that our space or our day is a little bit different as a result of not doing the practice, and then on the other day seeing a marked difference in how we show up. And so it's just sort of affirming back to them what they said in a particular way, and it lets them know, hey, I've been heard, I've been understood, my intended communication landed. And affirming that which they communicate can be a great practice in just making sure, again, those three steps happen. Sometimes you can affirm how somebody feels. Wow, you know what? It just seems like you really had this aha moment, and I can see that you seem to have owned it, and you the passion that you're speaking with is just really, really contagious, and I noticed that I'm getting you know, drawn in as you're speaking with that level of passion. And so sometimes maybe it's like affirming their state, right? That can be very, very beneficial. And so when you're inside of active listening, right, really practice, you know, just making sure those three steps occur, and you'll find that as you intend to go into the space with that active listening and affirming that which is said, you'll notice that you'll start hearing things you didn't hear before. You'll become much more perceptive to somebody's space. Your ability to respond to what's being communicated is going to increase. Your awareness of when you communicate and somebody doesn't understand it, or they don't, it doesn't land in the way that you intended, you'll notice when that doesn't happen. You'll become much more sensitive when that doesn't happen. And so not only will you eliminate miscommunications from happening in a significant way, but as you continue practicing the skill, you'll notice that you'll get much, much more effective at communicating, making sure that happens in an effective way, as well as you know, increasing your ability to perceive what's there and influence people through your communication. And so something to start practicing or being mindful of as you continue to lead your weeks. And then finally, you know, other skill to just be aware of. A lot of times we get questions as we lead groups and we start to facilitate, you know, how do I manage certain spaces within the group. And some common ones that we'll give you some tips are in terms of, you know, creating really great group dynamics as you facilitate. And again, just one of those life skills to practice, because the reality is we're always managing group dynamics. We're managing ourselves within a group. We're managing other people in a group inside of how we show up in the group, whether we're with just our family, 3-5 people, maybe a family reunion where we're with 20 people. You know, you're at work, you're managing groups. You're with your, you know, you're in relationship with your boss and fellow coworkers. You know, if you're in a management position, where you're, you know, holding space for other people, you know, having these key management skills are essential if we want to optimize our experience of life. And so some spaces there around managing those group dynamics, right? It's like, well, what do I do if someone in the group is skeptical, right? They're skeptical of the work. They're skeptical that it's going to be effective. You know, who's this Joey guy, whatever it might be. And so a common question is, you know, how do I manage skeptics? How do I manage skepticism in life, right? Because that's, you know, it's not just something that shows up in your inner matrix group. I'm sure you encounter people who are in a place of skepticism. And what I find when holding space with someone who's a bit skeptical, what can be best, instead of, you know, trying to convince them, you know, really just give them permission, right? Affirm them and give them permission, right? If somebody says, hey, I'm skeptical about X, Y, and Z, like, listen, hear them, right? Get inside of what their concerns are and then affirm back to them, well, I hear that you have X, Y, Z concern and that you're a bit skeptical. That's okay, right? Just affirm them. Like, it's okay. It's okay to be skeptical. Yeah, and then I oftentimes, you'll hear me take even another step, and I'll go, hey, not only is it okay to be skeptical, but today it's even important to be skeptical, because there's a lot of people saying they're capable of lots of different things, and that's not always the truth. And just because one person finds something that works great for them doesn't mean it's a great fit for another person. And so, you know, evaluating what works for you or is going to work for you is so very important. And so now you've agreed with them. You've given them permission to ask questions and to be a little bit uncertain and feel a bit insecure about whatever's going on. And you know, you've invited it into the space. You've named it. You've invited it into the space, and you've given permission for it. And so now that person can relax a little bit. And now, you know, you can take that next step if you'd like, and you just say, hey, you know, speak up for yourself. We never want to tell people to do something, but if you want to speak for yourself, that's okay. You know, you can say, hey, you know, myself, I tend to be maybe a little skeptical at times too. And what I would encourage, or what I notice is great for myself, is I'll let myself be skeptical, but I won't be so skeptical I won't try things. And at the end of the day, if I'm a little skeptical about something, I'll try it. And if it proves to create a benefit or a positive result, then I keep with it. And if it doesn't pan out, then I go on to something else. And so, hey, it's okay if a little skeptical. I encourage you to try the meditations anyway. Try the thought practices out. Read the chapters as they've been laid out to do, and then see if it performs. See if it does something for you. And if so, that's awesome. And if not, like, that's totally okay too. I'm just happy to get to know you, and I'm grateful that you're here. And so whenever you're dealing with or somebody shows up a bit skeptical, remember, don't fight with them. Don't try to convince them that you're right or this way is right or something like that. Just give them permission and then encourage them to go through the process the way that it's laid out and see if the results prove out for them. You know, sometimes you'll have someone who's really quiet in the group, and you'll notice that maybe they're a little shy, they're not sharing much, you know, you kind of notice they're a little timid, and so, you know, this is a great sort of identifier that maybe this person just needs a little bit more encouragement, and so rather than call them out initially in the front of the group, maybe in the first session, in the first week session or the second week session that you guys have together, you might connect with this person right when the book club ends, right? As soon as that session ends, you might go up to them and just give them a little extra time, a little extra care, and say, hey, you know, how was your experience of the book club today? Do you have any questions? What did you like about today? Rather than ask sort of yes or no things, right? Did you like the book club? Oh, yes. ask, what did you like about today's session? And that's a little bit more open-ended question. So if you have somebody that's a bit quiet or shy, you might not call them out in the group because they might feel insecure and a little bit intimidated by that or overwhelmed, but you can definitely start by reaching out to them one-on-one, maybe as soon as that session ends, and then go up to them. And then, like I say, ask them an open-ended question. Say, hey, just notice you're a little bit quiet today. What was your favorite part of today's session? Right? If I ask what's your favorite part of today's session, that's a very open-ended question, and it encourages them to share themselves with me a little bit. And then once they share themselves with you a little bit, you know, see if you can find a place to offer compliment or affirm that which they shared so that they feel safe and they feel more confident about sharing in the group. If you feel like you have a little bit of rapport with them, then go ahead and maybe start asking them those open-ended questions as part of the group, right? Don't wait for them to share, but maybe go ahead and call on them and ask them to share, if they're maybe everybody in the group shares as an example. You've got 5 group members or 8 group members and 7 of them share their experience and you have one that doesn't, go ahead and reach out to that one and say, hey, I'd love to hear your experience of the week, of the session during the week or the meditation or whatever it might be. And then once they share, again, make sure to compliment and affirm them in some way so that they feel good about the sharing and are encouraged to do it again in the future. Sometimes you get somebody that tends to be a little bit too talkative in the group and sometimes monopolize the conversation a little bit. And a great way with somebody who's just so passionate and they love to share and, you know, it's like they have a captive audience, they're being heard maybe for their first time in a while. It's great to encourage them to share, of course, but a wonderful way to kind of tend that space is to just say thank you. Right? It's like I'll find an opening, I'll listen to them as they speak, and then once they make a point, you know, I'll go, oh, thank you for sharing, and then I'll affirm them right away, right? I'll as we spoke of earlier around their listening skill, I'll affirm what they said. Oh, thank you so much for sharing. I really like what you said about da-da-da-da-da. I really appreciate, you know, all the things that you had to share. And then right away, go ahead and call on the next person. Hey, so-and-so, like, what did you think about the practice? And then they start to share, right? And then, oh, well, so-and-so, what did you think about the practice? And that's a great way to sort of, you know, in a very polite way, interject a little bit and move the conversation along if you need to. And so, again, if you get somebody that's a bit too talkative, you want to listen to them and then find that place where you can just, you know, kind of sneak in there and go and just say, hey, thank you so much. Like, I really appreciate it, right? Affirm what you heard them say and then give them a compliment if that makes sense and then call on the next group member. If you have someone who's consistently kind of, you know, taking up a little bit too much time, you can also set a reminder at the beginning of the group if you know and suspect that this is going to come up, and you can say, hey, guys, just want to give you guys a slight reminder. You know, we only have a short window of time to go ahead and share our response to these questions. Like, I care about all of you, and we all want to hear what each other has to say, and so just a reminder, even though we get so excited about what we're communicating, if I kind of give a subtle thank you, you know, that's just a cue to just kind of wrap up your thoughts because we want to make sure that we get to hear from everybody. And that can be a wonderful way without having to call somebody out or put them on the spot to just let them know, hey, by the way, like we really do want to hear from everybody in the group. And if they do start talking a little bit too much and you say thank you, you know, then they also know, that you're giving this polite gesture to move the group along. And so both great ways to kind of manage somebody who's talking a little bit too much is just to go, hey, thank you, affirm what they said, then call on somebody else. If it's someone who does it regularly, consistently, you know it's an issue, at the very start of the group, when everybody sits down, you might say, hey, just a reminder, we ran out of time, you know, I wanted to hear from all of you last time, we didn't quite get there. Remember, we just have a short window of time to share, so if I say thank you, you know, that's just a cue to kind of wrap up your conversation and make sure that we get to hear from everybody. And then make it lighthearted, you know, and say, but I appreciate your passion. I appreciate your willingness to reveal yourself. That's such an awesome thing. And so, take some of these into your next inner matrix group as you move into week three, as we start to focus on the physicality and start to play with some of these techniques and strategies a little bit as you continue to facilitate. Again, you don't have to take it all on at once. I know that it can seem a little bit overwhelming, especially if this is your first time facilitating. But remember, that's why we're doing our evaluation at the end of each of our sessions, right? So maybe you just pick one thing. Maybe it's listening and focus on developing that skill and capacity as you lead, as you facilitate. Maybe it's, hey, I'm going to really work on affirming people on this session. I'm going to work to find those places where I can offer those genuine compliments. Maybe I'm going to work with the group dynamic and really work with reaching out to the quiet person and seeing if I can, you know, draw them into the conversation a little bit with open-ended questions. Maybe that's the skill you work with, is open-ended questions that itself. Hey, I'm going to do my best to answer, or excuse me, I'm going to do my best to ask a bunch of open-ended questions to help facilitate the conversation. And so, you know, work with that art of facilitation and know that as you develop these skills, every single one of them translates to a life skill. So you get to develop yourself, you get to master yourself, master some of these skills, these life skills, these talents, these techniques, as well as be of great service to other people and hold space to see some pretty cool things unfold in people's lives. And so just also a couple reminders as we kind of wrap up. Know that a city lead will be reaching out to you after your third week just to check in and see how you're doing. You know, they'll be like, how's your inner matrix group going? What are the things you like about it? Great opportunity to give feedback, you know, share with them the things that maybe you don't like, the things that you do like. And if you need any additional support at all, they're there to help you out. And so just letting you know to kind of expect that call and why they're reaching out is just because we like to check in. We want to know how your experience is. We want to make sure you're having a good experience. If there's any way we can support you, we want to be able to do that. And if you have any feedback on how we can improve the process or make it better, we definitely want to hear those things from you as well. And so if you don't hear from your city lead after your third week, please reach out to us. Call your city lead. Please call the office. Send us an email because your feedback is extremely important to us, and we definitely want to hear from you. And so if for some reason something happens and you don't hear from your city lead, please reach out to them. Please reach out to the office. Please feel free to call one of the other city leads and be in communication with us. We want to hear from you. We value you. So grateful that you're willing to lead and facilitate these inner matrix groups and be of service. And so we want to be in partnership with you and be as supportive as we can, and definitely love to hear your feedback so we can make this experience as powerful and as graceful and wonderful for you, but also for those that you're facilitating and those that will be doing inner matrix groups for a long time to come. Chapter 6 and 7, make sure you read Chapter 6 and 7 before you go into Week 3 on the physical body. Just a reminder, make sure you read your facilitator's guide, connecting with the physical body. Make sure you read through that section so you have an idea of what's coming up and how to flow the group. And finally, always, Week 3 meditation. Make sure that you're doing that daily. It's available on the website. And also remember, it's great to send out those follow-up emails to your group and say, hey, we had a great session. Just a reminder, make sure you read, you know, these chapters. Make sure you're doing your weekly meditation. If you need any help with the website, please let me know. All the content is there to help you out. Watch the videos, you know, get your download, etc. And just reminding people to, you know, as to how to keep up with the group. And so, so appreciate all of you. We'll go ahead and open the call. Just in case you guys have any questions now that you've been leading your inner matrix group for a little while. Anybody at all? Any questions? Anybody at all? Going once? All right, beautiful guys. Well, thank you so much. Appreciate you supporting others, and we'll look very forward to connecting with you soon. Have a wonderful rest of your evening.